Well, light rain showers expected to stick with us here through the day today with 75 our high. Cloudy with a shower tonight. Lows tonight down to 65. Cloudy Thursday. Risk of a shower with a high 76. And clouds to close out the week on Friday. Slight chance of rain with a high 76. More showers expected on Saturday, high 72. For News Talk 1230 WFEA, Richard DeWettig of the Weather Channel.
Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFEA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
'Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning's Town Talk, powered by this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com, TourStaffordVA.com. Again, Stafford Fire and Rescue here. Chief Joseph Cardello here, along with Katie Brady, the Public Information Officer with Stafford Fire and Rescue. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for getting up and coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. Chief, you've been here. We just were talking about this for 3.5 years or so, and this is your first time. I'm here. I apologize for that. We see each other at a lot of events, but actually to sit down and talk about things is a real treat this morning.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
So thanks for doing this. Katie, you all were really busy last night with involved with National Night Out, and a great night for people really to see things up close.
Yes, absolutely. We're really appreciative to the Sheriff's Office for allowing us to participate in that. It was great to see everyone to let people go through the fire safety house and see some of the equipment we had out there for them to look at.
It's been so long since we've had something like that. To actually see the fire safety house, I took a picture of it and just thought, I haven't seen that. I had forgotten that you have this kind of thing. And what a great tool over the years that has always been.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for people to get it's an inflatable, but it's an opportunity for kids, adults, everyone to be able to walk through, get a little practice climbing out the window without it being their actual home, and to see the safety messaging we have throughout the structure.
I guess one of the big safety messaging things when you have something like that and you all talk about it is having a plan and how important that is to sit down with your family and map things out.
That is so very important, to make sure that your family has a plan of what would happen if there was a fire. To know two ways out of every room, keeping in mind that a window might be that way, but also making sure that, you know, we're not asking people to jump out of their second story windows and to know what to do if they get stuck upstairs, that we have the resources that can get there quickly to rescue them, and that by shutting the door and isolating themselves to that room, that can be a tremendous life-saving measure. And to make sure that they have a meeting spot for their family. Once everyone is outside, that everyone knows they have one spot to go to, so they're not scattered all over the yard thinking that other people are still stuck inside, so we're going in and looking for people who aren't there and they're actually out safely. That's a really key thing for us as well.
The meeting spot, I know when my kids were young, and we always, a couple times a year, would sit down and talk about that kind of thing of where we were going to meet. Mm-hmm. And I guess just repetition in talking about some of these things, some of the things that Katie just talked about, that way, if it were to occur, it just becomes second nature.
Right, and that's what the theme of Fire Prevention Week is learning the sounds of fire safety. And part of that is we're asking people to practice a plan, come up with a plan, talk about it together as a family, and then practice it at least twice a year. That way, as you said, everybody's familiar with it, and it lessens the chances for something bad to happen.
Katie, a couple weeks ago your Facebook page is just terrific as far as for information and just keeping the community informed. But you had some pictures of a fire. I mean, it was pretty dramatic, and
yes,
does show you what can happen. It was just, and the house looked like you know most houses that we all live in, but the intensity of the fire just caught your attention.
Absolutely. So fire can double in size every 30 seconds, which if you think about it, is pretty rapid. And people don't always see the fire right when it first starts. Often they see it after it's been going for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we have in our homes often these days tend to burn a little bit faster than they did 50 or 60 years ago. So we're seeing that as well. But our crews had a really good stop on that fire. They saved a lot of the house and contained the fire to really where it started. And everyone got out safely. So that's, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that was the thing, because I think there was a picture, or at least in the write-up, and talked about the damage to the home, because you looked at that picture and you just thought, there can't be anything left of this. Left of this house, but and I'm sure you posted it also just for that, just for the kind of the shock value of being able to look at that and just say this is what fire can do.
Absolutely. I mean, once something's burned, we can't really unburn it.
Right.
So it's important that people are thinking about, especially if you've just moved to the area, especially if you spend a lot of time at other places, thinking about those other homes you may spend time in, how you would get out of that house as well.
So you said a fire can double every 30 seconds?
In the right conditions.
Wow. That does show you how it's nothing to play around with. And if something's happening, just to, you know, mm-hmm. put your plan in place and get out.
And that shows the importance, too, of having a working smoke alarm in your house. And that's another part of our campaign for Fire Prevention Week, is for everyone to test their smoke alarm, make sure they work. And if they don't work, they can call us and, you know, we can come out and assist them with that.
So often when we hear about fires, it's heartbreaking sometimes, especially with the tragic ones, when you have to report, you know, there was no smoke alarm, when they're just, like you say, they're so easy to get, to install, and they'll save you.
Yeah, and on that particular fire that you're talking about, I think smoke alarms did activate and alert the residents. But I saw a statistic the other day that in the last 2 years, over 40% of the fires in Stafford County occurred in homes that did not have a working smoke alarm. So we have a lot of work to do in that area.
Yes, recently we've had a number of fires alert residents, or smoke alarms alert residents to the fire, but we obviously have seen over the past few years that is not the case in every fire. Nationally, in 3 out of 5 home fire deaths, there was no smoke alarm present or no working smoke alarm. So we know that smoke alarms do save lives. They give us enough notice to get out safely.
And they've gotten, they're so easy to acquire now. They've gotten to be very reasonable. And in a lot of areas, you contact fire and rescue, and they'll give you smoke alarms. I mean, you do everything you can. It's kind of like when the Swiftwater Rescue guys come in, and we talk things. We always talk about life jackets for when with you guys, it's smoke alarms. That's the one thing we all need to have.
Mm-hmm. And you know, a long time ago, you had to replace the battery twice a year. There was that whole change your clock, change your battery campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have smoke alarms that are 10-year smoke alarms. You never have to touch them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, they've improved so much, because we had some older ones, and I think it was doing a feature with some of your guys at Berea one time, and so I remember going home and saying, we ought to get. You mean, these new smoke alarms are so much better, and they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people don't know that smoke alarms expire. The device itself mm-hmm. expires after usually that 10-year mark. You may still have a smoke alarm that works, but it may not work. And you can figure out if your smoke alarm is expired by just taking it off the ceiling and looking at the manufacture date. So it's 2021. So if it was manufactured before October 6th of 2011, it's probably time to start looking at some new smoke alarms.
Now, always the problem is there's also the issue, you can have a smoke alarm, but if you don't like it chirping, or you know, you've burned something on the stove, and you'll take the battery out, which is again a no-no.
Right.
With those sealed ones,
you can't do that.
You
now.
Can't take it out. But we also see a lot of people install smoke alarms in the kitchen, because cooking fires are the leading cause of fire.
Yeah.
But that also means every time you open the oven, every time something gets a little too smoky on the stove, it's going to go off and it's going to become a nuisance. And that's when people are going to start taking it down. So you want it near the kitchen, maybe around the corner from the kitchen,
right.
But you don't want it right in the kitchen, because it's going to go off every single time.
And a lot of the new smoke alarms have a silence button or a
test button.
A test.
Yeah.
But you can also, if it's going off and you're cooking and you're there, you can hit it, and I think for a minute or 30 seconds it'll silence. So.
I know with I have seen and I think I've seen it several times this week, so I'm assuming it's some kind of a campaign this week to learn the difference between or know the difference between a smoke alarm and a carbon monoxide device, which I played the video, and it is good to know that. So if it goes off, you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, so carbon monoxide alarm you need to have in your home if you have any fuel-burning appliance or if you have a fireplace, anything like that.
Yeah.
And it does sound a little bit different. It's usually like a triple beep when it starts going off. And those two do expire after, I think it's 7 to 10 years. It depends on the device.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are not the 10-year sealed battery. They do still need the battery to be updated.
Have a working smoke detector. The theme of this morning, the theme all the time, because like you said, I mean, it has to be heartbreaking for you guys to sometimes go into some of these situations and just think if you just had a smoke alarm.
Right. Yeah, those are tragedies that are certainly preventable.
Chief Joseph Cardello, here, Katie Brady here with Stafford Fire and Rescue. Quick break. We'll be back and continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Fire Prevention Week, and from Stafford Fire and Rescue, Chief Joseph Cardello is here, along with Katie Brady, the Public Information Officer with Stafford Fire and Rescue. And if you're a Stafford County resident, for sure, you need to like the Stafford Fire and Rescue Facebook page. Just really good, up-to-date information, and just a lot of good tips for your for your family. With this being Fire Prevention Week, Katie, you've got some open houses going on at a couple of stations. I've gone to these in the past, and they are just terrific. Just terrific.
Yeah, on Saturday, we'll have an open house at Station 12 just off of Warrington Road. That's the Berea station from 11 to 3-ish.
Yes, 11 to 3.
So we'll be out there. We'll have some activities for the whole family, some good information, an opportunity to look at the different pieces of apparatus we have there and to talk to some of the crews as well. And then on Sunday from 10 to 2, we'll be at Station 14 in Garrisonville, which is off Shelton Shop Road. And again, opportunity to talk to the crews, see the different apparatus we have there, and more activities for the whole family.
The Garrisonville station, that's the newer station. That's the new station, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a fascinating. Is that the station that has got the pole?
Yes.
That's brand new. I remember the groundbreaking for that, and also the dedication, and just a real nice station.
Yeah, and if you can't make it this weekend, Station 2, which is just off Courthouse Road, will be having an open house next Saturday. And so if you can't make it this weekend,
okay,
or if you can come to every one of them, that'll be great too.
I learned a lot, and I hang around and know a number of your firefighters and have been to things. But Chief, I remember a couple years ago going to the open house at Berea and just going through the living quarters and just seeing all the different activities as they walked through and would do just kind of, you know, this is what we do during the course of a day. It was really informational.
Yeah, and that's important for the community to see too, exactly what it's like to live a day in the life of a firefighter. And those men and women on those crews, they love doing that. It's having the public come in and talk to them and show them around. That it's a big part of what we do.
It gave me a whole new, because I really had never thought about what you do.
And yeah, most people don't ever go in a firehouse.
No, you so got you
got
to
see.
Yeah, the living area was everybody had their own little area. It's a big area, but a lot of work goes on just, you know, as you wait.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they have chores. They do a lot of training.
Yeah.
Some of those stations don't have a ton of downtime anyway. So what little time they do have, they usually spend training or they always have to make sure all of their gear and their equipment's ready to go. So that, especially some of the stations that have a number of pieces of apparatus that can take a little bit as well. So they do stay very busy.
I never asked you this question, Chief. How what got you involved in the fire service?
My grandfather was a volunteer firefighter, and my dad was a career firefighter. So I spent a good part of my childhood in a firehouse and at fire department activities, and it just made sense to continue on in that tradition.
Isn't that something? What a great history you have. Mm-hmm. To be able to have done that. Have you seen over the years, has technology changed a lot in what you do?
Oh, sure. When I first came in, we had no GPS or any of that. I mean, that's one of the biggest ways is every fire truck had a bank of maps in it, and depending on where you were going, you'd have to pull that area's map and look where you're going now. A lot of it is driven by computer, GPS directions, and so that's one big way that things have changed for the frontline people over the years.
Kate, what's your story? How'd you get involved and interested in this?
So way back a few years ago, I actually worked in the news, and I spent a lot of time going to fires. And I always showed up after someone's house had burned to the ground. And it, after a while, it's kind of a helpless feeling, and you can only ask people so many times.
Yeah.
And they say, well, I never thought it would happen to me. And an opportunity opened up for me to work in fire prevention and education and talk to people before those fires and those tragedies happen. And so that I kind of made that shift. And I've been doing this ever since.
Interesting. That's so interesting. I didn't know you had been in news. I could have just turned the show over to you this morning and said,
"You got this." You've got it.
Why don't you guys take over? Now those great stories. I would think, Chief, that the GPS part of it, especially when you're dealing with a fast growing locality like Stafford is, that boy, that kind of technology is what gets you to a lot of these fire scenes a lot quicker than you might otherwise.
Sure, and also there's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes. We work with County GIS and some other departments, the Sheriff's Office, the ECC, to make sure that all that technology is running seamlessly and that we can do what we have to do.
Interesting. A lot of those things are you don't think of those things, but when I have to call 911 and I want you there, right now, mm-hmm. That so much goes into that.
It does.
Just as far as training goes, knowing the roads, knowing all that kind of thing,
and knowing different things about your area. For example, the types of the area of, say, Garrisonville, Berea is a lot different than Widewater or out towards Rock Hill. It's just a different area. So the people who are running those calls in those areas really have to be kind of an expert in that area, knowing that you're going to have some long driveways or you may not have, knowing where the different fire hydrants are and knowing the best ways to position yourself so that you can, if you need to get headed toward the hospital, you can head that way. It's kind of a very choreographed dance to get everything working together, especially on a fire scene.
And then in some areas, especially on the far east and in the far west side, there are no hydrants. So the crews have to know where all the water supplies are. That might be somebody's swimming pool, for certain neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Or it could be a drainage pond or something. So there's a lot that goes into each company has to really know their area and what's available to them.
How do they do that? I mean, because I get like bus drivers sometimes for schools, they'll go out and they'll drive before school to mm-hmm. learn their route. How do they get to know?
So if you are around the county, you'll see fire trucks and ambulances constantly out on the road, and that's part of what they're doing.
Is okay.
They're on their way back from calls, or they'll even get up and go do an area drill and drive through a new neighborhood to make sure that they know what's going on there, and they'll also make notes about where different water sources are or different hazards are. Sometimes there's power lines that might come across a driveway that are a little low, and they have to take notice of that. So they're always noticing things and making notes so that in the event of an emergency, they know what's out there.
So Katie mentioned about just how things are so different in different parts of the county. So when a person's assigned to a certain firehouse, do they get moved around a lot, or do they generally stay in the same place?
I think for the most part, people are assigned to one place and they stay there for a good bit of time. Now, depending on different staffing, if we have vacancies in other places, they may get moved from shift to shift.
Sure.
To cover vacancies or even work overtime, or sometimes they trade with each other. So, and that is a good thing that they're not just in one place all the time without ever leaving. There, our people are getting experience, or the career staff certainly is getting experience in all areas of the county, and that's important.
As far as the training goes, talk about when a person becomes a firefighter, what kind of training they go through.
So we in Stafford County, we have a unique scenario. We have a volunteer academy in that they run that two nights a week and 8 hours on Saturday. So two nights a week and all day on Saturday, they're training at the training center, and that goes on for about 6 months. And then on the career academy side, they 5 days a week for 6 months. In the academy, and that, you know, they come out with basically the same certifications.
Mm-hmm.
There's in the career academy, there's a lot of physical training that we can't incorporate into a volunteer academy just because of time. And also with the high school program, you know, they're in session 5 days a week, but they're only there for about 3 hours a day. So they're getting a lot of information, but they're not getting the physical training. And that's important. You know, the being physically fit and ready to go is very important. So we actually have a class career academy that's going to start in 2 weeks. So
I forgot about that you have the program with Stafford County Schools.
Yes.
Where it is a really unique program and a great program.
We love that program. It's been great working with Stafford County Public Schools on this program. And we're in our third year now, and I think we have 17 students in the program. The first year we had about 10. Mm. Then last year we had a couple more. So we hired two people out of the first class. We're getting ready to hire three more out of the second class, and hopefully that continues. And beyond that, what's important is even the ones we didn't hire, there are still most of those folks are still active volunteers in the county. So there's two paths. It could be a career path, or for some people that don't want to do this for a career but love to be do it as a volunteer, we have that path available to them too. And it's just been a great program.
What great training, and just able to do that and experience. Yeah, for a high school person, you come out and you have all that. Good stuff. Stafford Fire and Rescue, our focus this morning. Chief Joseph Cardello, Katie Brady here from Stafford Fire and Rescue. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EP Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Fire and Rescue, our focus this morning. Chief Joseph Cardello here along with Katie Brady. Katie's the public information officer. Chief Cardello, he is here, and he's the chief. Good stuff here this morning as we talk about this being Fire Prevention Week. One of the things, Chief, that you have in Stafford that you've got two dogs that I know of. Duchess. I've known Duchess for a while, and there's another one. I can't think of the name. Oh, Larry, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Those are pretty special to have something like that, and the things that those dogs can do are amazing.
Yeah, they're totally different, and I'll let Katie kind of go over that.
Sure. So Duchess is our arson dog. She is trained to detect accelerants, so like gasoline, alcohol, things like that, mm-hmm. that people may use to set an arson fire. She is trained to sniff those out. And she's very good at it. She's been doing it for quite a while. I think she's older.
I've seen her.
She's eight years old.
Yeah, I've seen her over the years, and I've seen some demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. And just the smallest little thing.
Yeah.
And she can find. Yeah.
Yeah. She can alert to it. And she and Fire Marshal Goldman, her handler, they travel around regionally. They're highly sought after for what they do.
Yeah.
So they're a really great team. And then Larry is our newest canine addition. He is almost three now, I think. He'll be three, I think, in January. And he is a peer support dog. We know that mental health is really important for first responders. We know that we see a lot of stressful and traumatic situations. And he's also really good for the public as well. And so he is a great resource for us for when we do have those extra traumatic calls, that he can be there as a resource for everyone.
We often don't think about that, but that first responders in general, when you run into some really tough situations, and just talking to somebody from the sheriff's office the other day just about the accident on 17, and they were telling me how difficult that was. We often don't think about that first responders, sometimes you show up at these situations and they're not the best of situations, circumstances.
Yes, I mean, usually when we show up, it's not always a great day for someone,
right.
And some of them are just a little bit harder than others.
And there's always been such a stigma about first responder mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think over the last certainly decade, we've finally started to make headway into improving the mental health of our first responders. And that Larry, you know, was a perfect match for us because, you know, his handler, technician Stocker, and even his fiance Samantha, they anytime we need them, Larry's there to talk to our people, to talk to people in the community. You saw Larry there last night. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds of people, kids were just all over.
Oh, you couldn't get close.
Yeah, you couldn't even get close. So it's a great thing, and hopefully we can expand that program even more.
As we start to approach the holidays, since I have you here, we'll jump into all of that. Holiday safety, I know, is such a huge thing, Katie. And I think I met you I think we had emailed back and forth over the times that you've been in Stafford. I think I actually met you for the first time last year when you did a demonstration of frying a turkey.
Yeah, so holidays are coming, and there's a lot of fire safety topics that come up with different holidays. So Thanksgiving with turkeys, making sure that you thaw your turkey out if you're going to fry it or do anything really besides bake it, because that interaction between the frozen turkey, and if you've got way too much oil in your big pot for frying, the name is escaping me right now.
Yeah.
It's explosive. Just the reaction between the hot oil and the frozen turkey. We know that grease fires and water don't react well. So make sure that you're thawing your turkey out and that you're slowly putting your turkey into the oil and that you haven't overfilled it. And even with Halloween, making sure that not so much fire safety, but making sure you're being seen when you're going out. And going around trick-or-treating, making sure that you have some sort of reflective material, mm-hmm. glow sticks, things like that, flashlights, so that people can see. And then looking to Christmas, making sure you're watering. If you have a live Christmas tree, making sure you're watering your Christmas tree. I mean, it still is a plant. And if it dries out, sometimes those lights can short out. And it really, there's some pretty impressive videos online. It kind of becomes like a blowtorch.
It does.
So making sure you're doing that. And then also, if you're anything like me and you really love to put up a ton of lights this time of year, making sure you're not overloading those electrical outlets. They're not meant to see how many plugs you can stack on them. So there's only a certain number on that power strip, making sure you're not exceeding that.
What about people who hang lights? Because a lot of times people will put lights up and then they just leave them up for the year. I've always wondered, does the weather impact them and make them unsafe to have? Sometimes if you just leave those lights up for Christmas and you just leave them up, if they're not, it doesn't seem like they're going to hold up as long if they're dealing with all the weather conditions.
Well, you want to make sure you inspect your lights, and that goes for lights you put on a Christmas tree, lights you just string up around your house, anything like that. Make sure that there's not any rips or tears in the protective coating, making sure those wires are all connected, and making sure just that they're in general good condition before you go ahead and turn them on. I know some of them, you know, if one light bulb's out, then the whole strand won't work, but just if you leave them up all year long before you start to turn them on every night, making sure you just do a good once over and make sure everything's in mm-hmm. good condition. And if you're pulling them out of a box, again, making sure they're in good condition.
Never thought of it. Just about every holiday, there's something where you guys can come along and go, yeah, but, because, you know, Fourth of July, we're always talking about fireworks and things like that, but just about all of these things. But you know, you mentioned Halloween, and it's so important. You see so often of where people will just drive through a subdivision like it's just any other day on when you've got trick-or-treaters, and you got to remember to slow down and those kind of things too.
Yes, definitely take your time this Halloween, especially this time of year as it starts to get darker out. People are still out walking their dogs late in the evening, especially as it starts to get dark before a lot of people get home from work. Just slowing down a little bit as you go through your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be out walking later in the evening, making sure you've got reflective material on, bright colored clothing, things like that. Another holiday thing I should mention is candles. A lot of different holidays this year using candles this time of year to celebrate, making sure you're not leaving those candles unattended, that they're in a sturdy container. If you've got young kids or if you've got pets, making sure that they're staying clear of those candles.
And even if you've got them and you've got them, and if you think you're going to fall asleep, again, just another... Yes. If you're falling asleep, you're leaving them unattended.
Yes. So, you know, making sure you blow those candles out before you either go to bed or if you leave the room, if you leave the home. Unless you're sitting there with it shouldn't be lit.
The back to Thanksgiving now with the turkeys. The other thing that you often see a lot of times where fires occur is when you talked about the oil coming out, if you do it on your deck, you're really setting yourself up.
You should probably give a little bit of space between. If you're going to be frying your turkey, maybe go a little further out into your yard. Use the driveway, something like that. I know my dad used to deep fry a turkey with my uncle, and they started in the far corner of the yard. They were allowed to work their way up to the driveway after several years, but they were never allowed on the deck.
No, I did it. I did it actually. Because I'd seen enough stories on it, I didn't want to do one, but I did want one. So, but I did it. I did the same. I did was like way out in the yard, and after my wife saw it go in, she said, "That's if you're going to keep doing this, that's where you're going to do it."
Mm-hmm.
So and it did. It killed the grass too. Just with the heat and everything coming off. So you do see that kind of thing.
And even if you're cooking inside, a lot of times with Thanksgiving, people having family members over, it can get kind of chaotic in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So if you have pots and pans, making sure you're turning those pot handles in actually towards the counter so they're not hanging over, so things aren't getting caught on them, or you don't have curious kids pulling on those pot handles to look and see what's inside of it. If people, you know, bring over their entire kitchen to share with you and they leave those bags all over the floor, making sure that there's clear pathways for people walking so you're mm-hmm. not tripping in the kitchen. And if you're going to be slicing things, cutting things, making sure you're paying attention so we can avoid some of those injuries from people not paying attention while they're using a knife.
With Christmas trees, and you described it, boy, you do see those you see those stories, and you and a lot of times fire departments will do demonstrations, and they a dry tree just goes up in just seconds.
Yes, it's alarming how quickly it just goes up in flames, and the whole room is engulfed.
So if you are going to have a real tree, water it. And,
yes,
you know, water it a lot.
Yes. If it's to the point where you can, kind of run your hand along one of the branches and all the needles are coming off, it probably needs a little bit more water.
Probably.
Speaking from experience last year, mine definitely needed more water.
Wow. So did you started watering it more then? Or
I tried to. I had some issues with my tree last year, but the top half was brown. So I didn't turn my lights on.
Well, Katie's going to put together some kind of demonstration this year for you. So.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Of what not to do that I did last year.
Well, see, those are sometimes some of the better things when when you do these kind of things. I guess you can get a tree too early. I mean, when you buy a tree, you got to be careful and check the tree out. Did you check the tree out when you got it?
We cut it down from the.
Oh, you cut it down. Okay,
It was at a tree farm. We didn't just go out into the forest.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know,
a tree farm.
Yeah, no, but so yeah, no, so you know, you had what you would have thought was a fresh tree that was going to last.
I don't know what
a while.
Happened, but we'll try again this year.
So you're going to try it again.
Yes.
But again, the holidays is as fun as they can be. You got to be careful, Chief. You know, it's these kind of things that can, you know, just a little bit of inattention. And that's
right.
Where you guys
we just want to make sure everybody's safe.
Getting called in.
You know, definitely check out our social media pages. A lot of good information there. And we continue to update that throughout the holidays to give everyone the latest information.
We talk about safety. And I know there was a big effort on the river this year with a website, and just a lot of information went out. We did several shows with some of your people in talking about the river. And I don't think there hasn't been a drowning so far this year. I don't believe.
It was definitely a better year in terms of that than last year. I don't have the exact numbers, but I know that our standby crews that were down at the historic port of Falmouth Beach did have a number of assists that they happened to be there and saw someone start to struggle, that they were able to assist them. So a lot of great outreach there. They were able to talk to people about the importance of life jackets. I know you talk about, you need smoke alarms, save lives, life jackets, seatbelts. Yeah. They're all kind of the same sort of thing as far as what they do to save lives. So a lot of great work by our crews down at the river this year.
Yeah, I forgot about that they were down there all summer.
Had other county departments there passing out PFDs, and as Katie said, our folks, I think there were several dozen contacts that they made with people that were kind of struggling in the water. So we were glad to be down there this year.
Did I see you? Was it you guys last night were doing helmets, for bike helmets for kids?
Aquia Harbor Volunteer Rescue Squad, is part of our combination system. That's a big outreach piece by them. They were fitting kids for bike helmets. That's hugely important. If you're going to be out riding a bike, you need to have a helmet on.
And every year they do hundreds of helmets at this event.
Yes.
So it's, what a great thing that they.
Yeah, I saw the helmets last night, and I just thought, wow, this is a great way to get these distributed.
Yep.
Yeah, they don't have a final number, but I know that they pass out several hundred.
One of the things you saw it last night, especially when you've got a big vehicle there and with all the equipment. I mean, there's nothing like. I mean, even at my age, you go in and you see a shiny fire truck. It always just catches your breath sometimes.
Well, we had pretty much everything there last night. We had a bounce house, we had a fire truck, we had dogs. I think the only thing we were missing was a baby.
Yeah,
we would have had it all then. Yeah. But
we had an ambulance too. It's always really important to have.
Yeah,
can't forget the ambulance.
Yeah,
we love coming out and showing our equipment. And, the thing that I'm sure you noticed was that all of our people, they were just so willing to talk to everybody. It was a great night for us and for the community to be able to interact like that. But, bringing our big toys out is always a hit with everybody. So we love doing that.
And that's why we'll go over again where they're going to go before we get out of here this morning. Just having to be able to go and take a tour of these firehouses is just if nothing else, it shows you the equipment and the kind of things and the kind of training that the people have. If you hopefully you never need them, but if you do,
and it's not just Fire Prevention Week or Fire Prevention Month. I mean, this goes on all year round with different groups, lots of Girl Scout groups, Boy Scout groups, and church groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've even had a couple of homeowners association groups come out and do tours of fire stations.
Okay.
So it's not just for this month. If people wish to do that, they can get a hold of us and we'll make it happen.
You got to do it because it's great information, and you'll learn a lot. You feel a lot safer. You really know, and just to see the equipment that you all have is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. And to get to know the first responders in your area, the people who,
yes,
if you need us, that will be coming to your house. It's always nice to maybe get to meet them in a non-emergency setting.
Yeah, and they're all really nice people.
Yes.
They all are really nice people. Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning. Katie Brady, Chief Joseph Cardello. Quick break. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning. Katie Brady and Chief Joseph Cardello here talking about the various things going on. This is Fire Prevention Week, and Katie, there are a number of open houses that we just talked a second ago about just how valuable this kind of thing can be.
Absolutely. This weekend on Saturday at Station 12, which is just off of Route 17, the Berea Station, we'll be having an open house from 11 to 3. And if you can't make that one, or if you want to come to both, on Sunday we'll be having one at Station 14, which is Garrisonville, just off Shelton Shop Road. That's our brand new station, and that will be from 10 until 2. And if you can't make those, or if you want to go to all three, next Saturday, Stafford Volunteer Fire Department, just off Courthouse Road, will be having one on the 16th of October. Great opportunities to come out and meet our folks, to take a look at the facilities we have, the equipment, the apparatus we have. There'll be some fun activities for the whole family as well. Great opportunity to see our fire safety house, things like that.
Well, and Katie, you're the one responsible. Great Facebook page, Stafford Fire and Rescue. It's informational as far as incidents in the county go, but also just a lot of good just safety information that I think that we all need to brush up on.
Yeah, it's a great avenue to get that information out to people, especially during Fire Prevention Week this year. The theme with learning the sounds of fire safety. So we've been talking a lot about smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, making sure you know what those different sounds are, even the different sounds of a smoke alarm, and what those sounds are trying to tell you, whether it needs a new battery, whether the alarm itself needs to be replaced, or whether it's actually alarming because there is a fire, and going into what you should do when you hear those sounds. So those are important safety messages that we'll be walking through this week on social media, and we'll also be kind of reinforcing at those open houses that people can ask questions. I know oftentimes people have those random questions that they've been absolutely wanting to ask a firefighter. So we have that opportunity this weekend.
And we can't say it enough. Make sure you have a working smoke detector.
So important.
And have a smoke detector.
Yes.
Don't just they are so effective, and they're so easy to come by now.
Yes, and they dramatically reduce your chances of dying in a home fire if you have a working smoke alarm. They don't prevent the fires themselves. That's where the education piece comes in, but they at least give you enough warning to get out. And the amount of time nowadays that you have to get out in a fire compared to 50 or 60 years ago due to the materials that we have in our homes is a lot less than it used to be. It's about two and a half minutes now compared to probably 15, 20 minutes about 60 years ago.
And what, every 10 years, get a new smoke detector?
Yeah. If you aren't sure when your smoke alarm expires, if it looks a little old, go ahead and take it down from the ceiling or high up on the wall where it is and look at the date of manufacture. If it's, you know, before this date on 2011, it's probably time to look at getting some new ones.
Katie Brady is the Public Information Officer, Chief Joseph Cardello here also with us this morning. Chief, great to have you in this morning. We will not wait 3.5 years to get you back.
Great. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you both. Thank you for what you do with Stafford County. Great information, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you in the morning.
On News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.